Recording. Alrighty. Okay. Well, welcome to the Committee of the Whole meeting here on Monday, January 25th. It's just at six, top of the hour, 6 o'clock. I'll ask I guess Kathleen, are you going to take the roll call from your?
If that's all right with you, that's my plan.
Yeah. Please.
Okay.
Yeah, please do.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Kargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez? Nope. Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Hennick?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Ducey?
Here. And okay. Rez did call in and say that he was running over. He had a board meeting of his own at work, so he'll join as soon as he can. So, all right, so we don't have any public comment for this session, right? These are all for
the regular board meeting.
All right, so then we'll go ahead and go into the discussion for our five-year capital improvement program. So I'll hand it over to Lisa.
All right, and if you don't mind, I'll take my mask
yes,
off.
Yes, so you can go ahead. Absolutely. Easily.
Thank you.
All
no
right.
Problem. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity to review the fiscal year 2022-2026 capital improvement plan. I'm going to share my screen with you, so just give me a second to do that. And let me get our presentation started. Here we go. As you know, if you've been on the board for a while, you're going to recognize a lot of this, so I will kind of move through these early sections a little quickly so that we can get to the meat of the presentation in the time that we have allotted for the meeting. So as you know, the CIP is a planning tool that helps identify the major capital purchases and projects as well as their funding sources for the next 5 years. The document that has been provided to you and that is available on the Village's website is also available as a hard copy here should anybody need to view that. So that is a public document. And the purchases for fiscal year 2022 will be incorporated into the proposed budget for next fiscal year that we are also in the process of assembling. I would note that as we head into tonight's presentation, due to the financial impacts of COVID-19, some projects that were planned for the current fiscal year have been deferred to next year. And departments have been asked to prioritize their projects based on the current fiscal environment. So many of these projects have certainly been prioritized in a responsible way, but at the end of the day, they are all in fact contingent on funding. So as I like to say, it wouldn't be a good government presentation if it didn't include a bunch of acronyms and some alphabet soup. So as you take a look at the funding sources that we talk about tonight and the terminology that we use, here are the different funding sources that are included in the CIP. All of them I think you've seen before, but we would also incorporate some different program language and project language in here, and we've also included TIF as a funding source for the first time this year. As we move through the CIP, we will talk about them in this order and the different categories of projects that we have proposed, and so let's go ahead now and get started in buildings and improvements. There are four facilities that the Village includes in the CIP, the Village Hall, the police firing range, which is here at the Village Hall, the Public Works Garage, and the pumping station. And in fiscal year 22, we have improvements proposed at the Village Hall, the Public Works Garage, and the pump station. Next year, we are recommending at the Village Hall that we replace a portion of the roof that's over the dispatch center that is housed here, the WSCDC. We're also proposing that we make some modifications to our doors, some replacements, in particular the front door and access control system that's there, as well as some interior doors to improve their ADA accessibility. And we are also proposing to replace fluorescent lighting in the interior of the Village Hall with more energy efficient LED bulbs. This is based on an evaluation of the facility that ComEd has done and utilizes incentives through ComEd for this project. At the Public Works Garage, and I will move along here relatively quickly, but please feel free to let me know if you have any questions and stop me. Please don't be afraid to interrupt even if I'm talking. So at the Public Works Garage, we are proposing to rebuild the salt storage shed to improve how we store those materials and also to replace the overhead garage door at the garage. And where you see an asterisk next to an item, it means that that has been carried over from a previous fiscal year. Over at the pumping station, we are planning to recoat the stucco to keep that facility watertight and keep the exterior of that building in good condition. So with that, we will go ahead and move on to vehicles. As you know, the village operates a large fleet of vehicles that enable us to deliver our day-to-day services to residents. The systematic funding for the replacement of these vehicles ensures that the village has the fleet that we need to provide those services while avoiding large spikes in funding. So we'll start with the police department. They are proposing to replace three squads in fiscal year 22, including two that were carried over from the current fiscal year. The village replaces these squad cars on a three-year cycle, but if it's a more heavy-duty vehicle, we replace those on a four-year cycle. And the cost that you see here reflects the all-in cost, including markings, lights, and any other items and equipment for the vehicle. Moving down into the fire department, we are proposing to replace the administrative vehicle C201. That is assigned to the fire marshal, and he uses that for public education programs and his facility inspections throughout the community. And also C218, that's a vehicle that's used by the hazmat and technical rescue teams, and it can also tow trailers and serve as incident command in the event of a disaster. So that is a multi-purpose vehicle. Moving along quickly to Public Works. They are proposing to replace large dump truck. Truck number 44 was previously refurbished to extend its useful life, but is now in need of replacement. And truck 48, which was carried over from last fiscal year, is used to plow parking lots and alleys during snow events.
Hey, Lisa, can I ask a question? Question about the Public Works vehicles. Have we looked into purchasing electric vehicle types?
Sure. So I've talked to John Anderson about that a little bit, and I know the Sustainability Commission has looked into that in the past. So John, please feel free to jump in here if I miss anything or if you have more information to share. For these large vehicles, it may not necessarily be very feasible. For smaller vehicles, for other vehicles in our fleet, the electric vehicle would probably be a better solution. But these large vehicles that have a significant weight to them and carry around a significant weight of material and are used for these kinds of purposes probably are not great candidates for electric vehicles.
And is that because they don't offer them in that in an electric vehicle or other reasons?
I don't know if they're offered. John, if you're on the line, why don't I have you jump in here and provide a little bit of information. I don't know if they're offered. I know there are alternative fuel vehicles, but that would require a pretty significant overhaul to our fuel system as well. But John, go ahead.
Right. So as far as them being offered, I don't believe they're offered on the joint purchasing programs that we use to purchase these larger vehicles. The smaller ones, I think, are starting to be more available for the joint purchasing programs, smaller ones being like administrative vehicles, code vehicles, that kind of thing. And that's where we would look to start bringing those in the future. And so we certainly have our eye on that, but not for the larger vehicles at this time.
I think that the pickup truck specs that were in the CIP are available from the same manufacturer, Ford, in an electric vehicle. And I would just ask that whenever we're looking to purchase the, you know, vehicles that are offered in an electric format, that we do look at that, because that offers a cost savings to the village and passes on to our residents. And also sets a good example for our residents that the, you know, village is looking at more energy efficient and cleaner alternatives to gas powered.
Hey, John, if I can just tag on this, the joint program that you described, I mean, if you go out and you buy one, you're out going out and buying it at a retail as opposed to being able to take the benefit of the state and the contracts they negotiate, correct?
Right, right. So there's the state program, there's the suburban purchasing cooperative, you know, those types of things. That's what I was referring to. We can certainly look and find vehicles on our own, and we'll definitely look at that in the future as far as electric vehicles being available. We would also have to keep in mind that in order to get an electric vehicle, we've got to make sure we can keep them charged and get that type of equipment at the Public Works Garage so we have a place to charge them and everything. But that's what I was referring to with the joint purchasing programs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're both right. I think we have to absolutely look at a more efficient and more environmentally friendly cars, for sure. Maybe, you know, the compromise here is, like you said, the smaller cars where there are on the purchasing agreement where we can get them for less money, we should really consider start doing that, for sure. And on the larger ones, if we can get a good price outside the purchasing agreement, then we should certainly look to do that. But you're right, John. I mean, there's going to be other costs to that. So maybe, you know, we start out with the smaller ones and we grow because we're going to redo the Public Works building to handle the electric.
Yeah, those are all very good comments and suggestions. We have them noted, and we will certainly look for those opportunities. We will take another look at the vehicles that are in the CIP and see if there are any opportunities this coming fiscal year, but certainly on a going forward basis. And we appreciate the comment. Yeah,
great. Thanks very much.
You bet. All right, we'll move along to equipment. In addition to the large fleet of vehicles the village maintains, there's also an inventory of equipment that each department utilizes to deliver services to the residents and constituents. So we have just a broad overview here of the different equipment that is included in the 2022 CIP, and this is equipment for the police, fire, and public works departments. Just a quick note about the funding sources here. As you read through the CIP, what you'll see is that new equipment is typically purchased out of SIF, the general fund, or water and sewer funds, and, you know, in this case, you'll even see TIF. But when it's depreciated and ready for replacement, then you will see that it is funded out of SURF. That's just the Capital Equipment Replacement Fund. So in the police department, they are proposing to complete phase two of a two-year village camera replacement program. This was split up over two fiscal years in consideration of some budgetary constraints. And this fiscal year, the work that we have completed includes replacement of cameras on the inside of the village hall that monitor the booking room, interview room, prison cells, front door, and the lobby area. Phase two next year will include cameras on the exterior of the building.
Lisa,
the budget also includes, sorry. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Lisa, this is Patty. I had a question about the cameras. So there's 38 total, correct, between inside and outside?
Yes.
And so how many had been done already? How many, like of the 38, how many are inside?
I don't, John or Jim, are you on the call? Do you know how many we've done already this year?
We can check and give you that number in a couple minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I can't pull up my CIP in front of me right here because I'll have to, because I'm doing screen sharing. So go ahead if you have another question and we'll get back to you with that.
I do in terms of the price point. In last year's SIP, the price per camera was $1,538. And this year it's showing that they're $1,784. So I'm wondering if, you know, if the plan was to do all of them anyhow, why we're at a different price point this year, even with the split.
Jim, are they pan tilt zoom cameras or are they fixed cameras?
Well, we added two cameras interior to cover a blind spot that we had for transparency, accountability, and liability reasons in the booking area. We also, that study that was done really more included numbers that were provided through the consultant and not directly through the authorized vendor that's been used. So the numbers were slightly off, but if you look at the amounts for the work being done, it's coming in well under the amounts for the project's total, not only for the interior cameras, but for the street camera expansion also.
Well, I just, you know, again, when I was comparing the two, you know, last year's, this section of last year's SIP describes 38 cameras, the repair improvement, you know, box that's shown and saying, you know, 38 at this cost for a full total of 67,795 is in this year's SIP. But then the last time, like I'm saying, it was 1538, and we're still referring to the same 38 cameras. So I'm just wondering why the price point difference between last year's SIP and this year.
Well, once again, I would point to work that was done by a independent or outside consultant and not an actual vendor doing that was going to be doing the work.
Okay.
Okay.
I had a question then about the street cameras and the pricing difference. It seemed in a couple sections there were 5 sites and 7 cameras, but the pricing was different. And then there was one, the phase 3 that called for, I think it was 5 again, 9 cameras instead of 7. So they're just in, the pricing seemed to didn't quite make sense when between the phases. Let me see if I can pull it up here again. You know what I'm saying?
Is so with the street cameras, each location is drastically different. There's costs certainly break down to not only include the camera, but the type of camera. Is it one lens or two? Is it Pantel zoom or is it fixed? Is it 3 megapixel or 6 megapixel or what it is? But then also each location where the camera would be installed has unique projects to go there in terms of, you know, what electrical work needs to be done in the pole to outfit it, to power that camera. Some of the poles are, Mark Janopoulos could get into this a little bit more, but some of the poles are powered 24/7. Some of the poles are only powered at night and need to be powered 24/7 for the camera. And then finally, each location, depending on how easily it can be connected back with the Wi-Fi equipment to Village Hall based on distance or even how many trees are in between. A lot of that was what was fleshed out during the strategic plan of exact costs for each unique location rather than trying to use average costs and things like that to budget.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Trustee Hennick, I do have a number for you with regard to how many cameras were replaced in the interior.
Yeah.
And that number is, let me just verify, there's 2 new ones. And as I mentioned, those were, one was a new one placed outside the male cell hallway area, and a second camera that's brand new outside the female cell hallway area. And the number of cameras, and I can read the exact locations if you'd like, but I'd rather not just—
No, I don't need that. I was just curious, you know, you had the full total of 38. How many were inside, how many were outside?
We have 17 that were replaced, plus the 2 okay, that were brand new, and 19 cameras were replaced.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. So as Trustee Hennick mentioned, we are looking to implement the street camera optimization plan. As you may recall, last fiscal year, our IT consultant and a consultant helped us prepare a plan to roll out street cameras in additional locations throughout the community. And where we are proposing to start is in the Madison Street corridor and Washington Boulevard, so along the south end of the community. And as Trustee Hennick noted, we're looking at 7 cameras in 5 locations. As you know, the purpose of the camera system is to act as a force multiplier and provide 24/7 situational awareness during severe weather events. So tonight is a perfect example of how we will be able to use those cameras to monitor different street conditions throughout the community and respond appropriately. Future phases of this program will expand through the middle section of the community and then along the northern corridor along North Avenue. The areas along Madison and North Avenue are both TIF eligible areas, so a portion of these programs will be funded via the TIF districts. So the cost you're looking at here is the all-in cost. Moving on to the fire department, the SCBA air compressor has been in the CIP for a couple of years, and this may finally be the year that we have to replace it. The fire department is looking at some repairs that may need to be done right now, and if they're not feasible or cost effective, then we may actually have to replace this equipment this fiscal year, but we have budgeted for it, so we're prepared to do that. If we can make it work for another year, then we're going to bring those funds over into fiscal year 22 and budget for it again. Fire radios. These are quite literally the handheld portable radios for use by the fire department. The project is being partially funded by an assistance to firefighters grant from FEMA. The grant is for $95,000. And what you're looking at here is the village's share of the purchase. Another option, another financing alternative is for our dispatch center to lease these, and the fire department would use them, but absent that type of an arrangement, the village has set funds aside in the new CIP to make that purchase so that we're prepared to do that if we need to. Yeah. Good. Moving on to public works, each of these items were deferred. The permeable paver maintenance system, we did identify some different equipment. And so permeable pavers require maintenance on a periodic basis to include debris removal so that the water can percolate through those systems. Currently, this work is performed by a contractor, and as we look to accelerate the installation of permeable paver alleys, we would have to increase the general fund budget an additional $50,000 for maintenance. So when we are looking at a potential return on investment of purchasing this equipment, we will realize that relatively quickly, and it is more cost effective for us to purchase this equipment and do this work in-house, so that is what we are proposing to do. Kind of speaking back to Trustee Brennan's comment earlier, we are proposing to replace the fuel system, and we will certainly evaluate as we look at an electric vehicle fleet what we need to do to ensure that our fuel system is capable of powering those vehicles as well, or whether there's some alternative location where a power system would need to be. But for those vehicles that use regular fuel at this point, until we get to a place where we can have all electric vehicles, we do still need to fuel them. And so we are proposing to replace the existing fuel pumps and fuel management system. This is not just used by the village, it's also used by the park district and school district. And so we have examined and we continue to examine the cost effectiveness of replacing this versus purchasing the fuel elsewhere. And we do find that this continues to be a more cost effective approach, even though it has a relatively large ticket.
Lisa, I had a question on this one too. This is Patty again. So in last year's SIP, it's good news that it's lower here, but I'm just wondering if I'm clear on why it's different. So last year it looked like it was listed as 250,000 and now it's 180,000. And there were comments regarding the tanks. Last year it said they had useful life expectancy of 30 years and now this SIP is saying 50 years. Was there a possibility of changing those tanks? Is that the price difference between last year and this year? And then the life expectancy itself, is it the 30 years or 50 years?
Yes.
Okay. John or Mark, you wanted to jump in? Yeah.
Right. So yes, Trustee Hennick, the fire marshal came out and did an inspection recently and said that the tanks are in good condition currently. And he said we would get additional 20 years out of them. So that's why that was taken out of this part of the budget. But all the rest of the items, all of the piping and the fuel island itself, that all still needs to be replaced. That's why the price difference changed there.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to be clear about that.
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit also. Every 2 years, we're inspected by the state fire marshal. He looks at our equipment and looks over all of the inspection forms that we have. Annually, the tanks that we currently have underground have to be tested for tightness. It's called a tank tightness testing. I'm trying to say that a bunch of times fast. Anyway, we passed with flying colors, and in talking to the fire marshal, you know, I mentioned that we were going to proactively change our tanks at the 30-year mark, and he says, well, why are you doing that? As long as they test fine, he said they're good to stay in the ground. He said that there are locations he goes to that have had the same tanks in the ground for 50 years. And he says, as long as they test fine annually, you can just leave them. So we're looking to replace the ancillary equipment and leave those tanks in the ground at a great savings. So that's how that came about.
Okay, yeah, no, that's great. That's why I said it's good news. Better to go down than up.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to be down in the ground anyway around fuel tanks.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Great, thank you. So up next, salt brine application equipment. I don't want to embarrass Mark, but he did a fantastic job in a little public education piece recently that you may have seen on our social media site regarding the salt brine that the village uses for de-icing streets. And again, today is a perfect example of where that equipment really comes in handy. So there is equipment that makes the salt brine and there's equipment that applies the salt brine. And so that's what we're talking about is purchasing salt brine application equipment. And then finally, there is a grapple bucket. It's a piece of equipment that loads large equipment, of leaves and material. It's a piece of equipment that loads large bits of material. You get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm talking a lot tonight. The purchase of this was scheduled in fiscal year 21, but due to budgetary constraints, we kicked that out a year. And so we are looking to purchase that next year.
Hey, Mark, I got a quick question for you. Just with the salt brine, which I think is great, how much in advance of a storm can you really put that down to have it be effective?
You know, a lot of people do it 2 to 3 days. I've stretched it as far as 4, and we still see a residual on the street. You can go as many as 4, but safely 2 days, and you still have a residual effect, as we've seen, you know, with light snow, like the snow that's coming down now. We pre-treated the bridges and some different areas of the village that are troublesome for motorists. And we're seeing a great benefit. And, you know, it's 6 cents a gallon to make that salt brine, you know, as opposed to $51 a ton for salt. So there's a great savings there.
Yeah, that was a great decision. Thanks, Mark.
Sure, you're welcome. Great decision.
Okay. So in addition to our fleet and the inventory of equipment that we maintain, we also have a computer network to support the technological operations of the organization. So let's get into some of those IT projects now. We organize our capital projects into 4 categories: network improvement, software upgrades, computer replacements, and IT security initiatives. In the category of network improvements, we are looking to replace our current server system. It was upgraded in 2019 and is due for replacement in fiscal year 22. The village's IT consultant that we've been working with for a number of years now recommends that the village shift from the type of storage area network that it's currently using to this new, more robust, high-performance shared data system called a hyper-converged infrastructure system. And so we are looking to do that. In addition to that, we have budgeted switch replacement, which literally, you know, connects equipment throughout the system, and then a UPS or uninterruptible power supply. We need to replace that. That is a piece of equipment that between the time our power goes out and the generator kicks on, the UPS fills in to ensure that there is continuity throughout the village's system. So it's not just an operational thing, it's a security issue as well. We are also proposing that we set aside money under software upgrades for the ERP system's sustainability contribution. That's really money for the eventual upgrade or replacement of the ERP, which is our financial management software. It handles everything from utility billing to payroll and all the accounting functions. It works well, but occasionally these systems go through upgrades or they may reach the end of their life or something may happen with the vendor. We don't anticipate that, but we do want to plan for it. We did plan for it in this fiscal year, but we ultimately opted not to make that contribution. So we will start those contributions in fiscal year 22, and then that will kick that expenditure out a year after that.
So I've got a quick question. You might get to it. I'm not sure. On the network and this hardware, that's all in-house now, because I know we had some things outsourced, or is that there's still a combination?
So the day-to-day IT support, so when you call help desk because your printer is malfunctioning or whatever the case may be, that is all through a consultant.
Okay.
And so we have somebody who's on staff a couple days a week, and they help with all help desk functions, and if they're not on site, then they do them remotely. In addition to that, the same consultant is client first. They also help us implement all of our CIP projects. Mm-hmm. So they're here for the bigger list of things like, you know, switch replacements and things like that. Yeah. So when they're not working on help desk tickets, they're working on these capital purchases or capital projects.
Okay. But the equipment itself, the network equipment, the hardware, is all in-house, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you might get to the disaster recovery, but I assume that, you know, as you start talking about the power supply replacement, which is it's a necessity, I assume that that's all kind of dovetails into the disaster recovery plan that we have.
Yep. Yeah. And so all of this does. So between... you know, we've had a pretty significant investment in our IT system over the last few years, specifically for that reason, continuity of operations, disaster planning. And now we're moving into a nice phase where we've done kind of the main pieces to ensure that we have all of that in place. And now we can move on to replacements and expanding and modernizing even further than what we have done to be compliant with best practices.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I think. This is my maybe third year saying it. I think IT is, you know, we got to continue to invest into the technology. I mean, that is definitely going to get more and more use as we begin to, you know, as more and more people look at what we're doing now with Zoom. And I just think there's going to be a lot more of that application as for our residents and for us. Okay.
Sure. Very good.
I agree.
Thank you. All right. In addition to the ERP sustainability contribution, we have a few other software upgrades planned. LaserFiche is a computer program that we utilize for electronic records management throughout the organization and is a pretty robust program. We also use it for workflowing and processing certain internal documents and moving to a more and more paperless organization. But there certainly are ways that we can utilize that software even more to improve our efficiencies. So we would like to have, when funds become available, the ability of the IT vendor to help us analyze where we may not be fully utilizing that program and implement those improvements. And also in fiscal year 22, we are planning to upgrade to Office 365, and we have incorporated some money in the budget for staff training associated with that software upgrade.
Very good. Great. Good news.
In computer replacements, we have, for a few years now, had a solid inventory of all of our computer equipment, and we have implemented a systematic rotating replacement schedule for PCs throughout the organization to avoid any spikes in funding and to ensure that we have equipment that is modernized and capable of supporting all of the services. In addition to that, we are budgeting for squad car cellular speed improvements. Basically, squad cars are little mobile offices, and so their ability to connect with the network and to connect with other systems and programs that the police department uses in as quick of a manner as possible is important to the department in delivering their services. So they are testing a pilot program this fiscal year, and if it's successful, which we think it will be, then we will be rolling that out next fiscal year. And then
Lisa, sorry, this is Patty again. Can I ask, as far as the computer replacement, I see the price is different from last year. Is that that's mostly due to desktops being replaced with laptops instead? Is that right?
Well, we group laptops, desktops, and then even within laptops, the police department laptops and the equipment that the public safety departments uses. Is a slightly different spec and definitely needs to be ruggedized to work out in the field. And so this is all based on technical specs and grouping like equipment together so that we can maximize our purchasing power when we purchase those you know, like bulk purchases. And then this price also includes the cost of IT implementing all of those new computers, right? So they have to roll them out and install them in the different workstations. And so this is an all-in price, not just between hardware, but it also includes the consulting costs.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. And then on the final front for IT, we have a security initiative of a network monitoring AI tool. This is a tool that would be installed on the village's network and learn it so that it can more quickly identify anomalies and alert our IT staff to those anomalies and potential breaches of the system.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. So moving on from equipment to infrastructure. The CIP includes infrastructure improvements, and we will start with streets, sidewalks, and alley projects. And so as you can see, we have a brief overview, and we will get into each of these here. Some of these are annually budgeted projects, and some are newer or one-time projects. Let's get started. We'll go into street patching. This program maintains and improves the surface conditions of the streets and prolongs their life. And it also includes alleys and parking lots by patching defective areas on an as-needed basis. So this is an annual funding amount. Similar to that, we have an annual funding amount for the sidewalk, curb, and gutter program. We do divide the village into different zones of sidewalks, curbs, and gutters, and those are inspected and rated every 3 years. Areas near schools, parks, and commercial retail areas are inspected more frequently. And based on those ratings, the village identifies areas for replacement to avoid trip hazards and other defects, and we get those resolved. Property owners are able to take advantage of competitively bid pricing obtained by the village to replace driveway aprons and private courtesy walks within the right-of-way. This year, in order to try to get more work done and really ensure that we have solid infrastructure in this area. In addition to replacement where it's needed, we're also looking at something called mudjacking, where they literally drill a hole through the concrete and use mud basically to jack the sidewalk up. I think it's kind of cool. So if you see a sidewalk square that has holes that look like they've been drilled and patched, that is a sidewalk square that has been mudjacked. So as a holdover from way back in the day when I was an analyst in a public works department, I always thought this one was cool. I'm glad to see that we're doing it. In addition to that, we also have our street maintenance program. The purpose of this program extends the life of the pavement so that village streets aren't replaced at a higher frequency, which is both costly and disruptive. So the CIP for 2022 includes the streets that are listed here.
Lisa, and can I ask you, Lisa, this is Patty again. Can I ask, over the last several years, there were maps included in our SIP that had the ratings for streets, pavement, and alleys. Were those not rated this past year, or were the maps just not included in this packet?
They weren't included, but I'll send those out to the board.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll include them in the final document.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that was just an oversight on staff's part.
Hey, Lisa, on the 50-50 sidewalk and curb gutter of our budget for last year, was the entire budget used for the year?
Yeah, I was saying yes.
We actually went slightly over it. The budget was 65, and I think we were at 65 and change the last few years, actually, I think.
In the bike plan implementation, majority of the work, as you know, will be completed this fiscal year. And then next year, we're budgeting a little bit of money to continue implementation of portions of the plan and certain IDOT routes, including signage and striping installations along Lake Street, in the eastern portion of Madison. Moving along to the SIP or Street Improvement Program. The SIP includes the general maintenance of streets in the village. The process of selecting streets and alleys that are included in these programs is based on their annual rating survey and the condition of these areas. And based on these ratings and also taking into consideration the acceleration of the alley improvement projects, the village is proposing that the SIP be completed in these areas in the south end of River Forest in the coming fiscal year, and we have those streets identified here for you. And between the SIP and alley projects, there is a significant amount of construction that we are proposing to be completed on the south end of the community. Yep. Moving along to the alley improvement program. As the board has discussed, the alley improvement program is proposed on an accelerated schedule in the next CIP. The board's initial discussions included a possible plan to reconstruct 18 alleys in 1 year, which is certainly aggressive, and it was what we were hoping to be able to do. However, in speaking with the village engineer and the public works director, it's their recommendation that it is appropriate to phase construction over 2 fiscal years. So as you'll see on the map here, we have identified by color the different phases of construction, dark blue being phase 1, yellow phase 2, green phase 3, and that aqua color is phase 4. the four alleys that are included in phase one are currently being designed with construction completed in the summer and fall of 2021, which is early fiscal year 22. The next phase of alleys would be constructed in the spring, which is the end of fiscal year 22. And then over the course of fiscal year 23, we would construct phases three and four. Phasing is proposed in order to minimize the impact to adjacent residents, seasonal weather allowances, and general proximity to one another for contractor efficiency. And in addition to phasing for logistical reasons, we also want to ensure there are sufficient funds in the SIF to pay the debt service on the GO bond that the village would issue to complete these projects. Each year, the village does submit grant applications for these alley improvements, and we did submit a grant application for the first four alleys that are in the process of being designed. We were not awarded any of those grants, and we will continue to apply on an annual basis. But if we wait to fund the program based on the availability of grant funds, it would ultimately defer construction to future years. So if we're looking to accelerate the program and complete it over the next two fiscal years, then we would need to go ahead and do that. Again, we'll still continue to apply for grant funding, but the initial round we don't have. So that's why we had proposed back in October that funding strategy that Eric had proposed to everybody.
Yeah. Now, I want to remind, I guess, the board that, and maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the original plan for the alley reconstruction for all 19 or 18 was over terrible. A 10-year period, right?
Well, we have 18 left. We've already reconstructed several. And so we started in, what, Jeff, 2014, 2015. And so we've picked off, what, about three or four years. So based on that number, and a lot of times it was just based on what we had budgeted and what each alley would cost because of length, square footage, the whole bit. And so, yeah, I mean, it would be really at least, what, a 10-year program to replace all the alleys, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of years where we only, and this current fiscal year, we really only constructed one as well. So we were anywhere from one alley a year to three or four. And I think a couple of years ago, we threw kind of five in there. So we've kind of been all over the board, but it would certainly be at least another 10 years, if not pushing 20, if we were to kind of continue along that current approach to finish these.
So, yeah, thanks. So Jeff, so that again, reminding the board, in our last discussion about the alleys, we talked about that, and given the good rates that's out in the marketplace, as Rosie and I and others talked about, it made some sense to consider accelerating these. And the hope was to accelerate them in the year, for sure, to get it all done. But after staff evaluated it, looked at it, and made all these other considerations of, you know, residents' disruption, even cost of overtime and staff and so forth, it to me, this makes great sense that we could take something that was 10, 20 years and move it over to 2 years and make it all work. So, you know,
I think it's good. Sorry, can I get clarification on so if we have 18 alleys left, if we went even the route of doing three a year, that's 6 years. I'm not understanding why it's a 10 to 20 year to do them all as opposed to.
Well, what Jeff just said is that in some cases we didn't do any, and we in some cases we did one, right? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jeff, but I think that's what you said.
Yeah, we kind of took a different approach. I mean, the first year we did this was at the northeast corner of town. We had a grant, and so right. We did four of those alleys. The majority of the alleys we've done since then have been one at a time. I think it was in 2019, I believe, the board kind of threw some extra money at alleys. It was like an extra $1 million. So we ended up getting five done in that particular year. So, if we did three a year, certainly that would only take 6 years to finish out 18, but that hasn't been the consistent approach that we've taken thus far. We really haven't had a consistent approach, but, we would certainly be at least close to 10 years, based on the approach that we've taken thus far.
Any other questions?
All right. Okay, we'll move it
along. Very good. I appreciate the staff's work on this. I really do. I think our residents will appreciate it, and I think thank you. So thank you for working on this.
All right. And finally, let's turn our attention to water and sewer infrastructure projects, and I know we're kind of rounding the 7 o'clock hour, so I will move along as quick as I can.
Yes.
sewer lining. This program identifies sewers that are not in need of replacement, but they do need to be maintained in order to prevent them from failing. So the village uses a cured-in-place pipe lining, cured-in-place lining in the pipe, to maintain it and prevent root infiltration and inflow and other factors that cause the life of a pipe to be shortened. So this is a minimally invasive and cost-effective way to extend the life of the village's sewer plan, sewer system, and this is a program that is budgeted for this amount annually. In addition to that, we also fund point repairs where needed that have been identified by staff as having a risk of failure, so these are completed on an as-needed basis. The Stormwater Master Plan, as we have discussed in the past, we are putting together the Stormwater Master Plan to address stormwater issues in the community and also to identify those projects that need to be budgeted in the CIP in fiscal year 23 and beyond.
Hey Lisa?
Yeah.
A point of clarification. When we had our last conversation about this, I was a little bit confused and I just want to have a point of clarity from Jeff. As we put this plan together, there is some discussion about residents having issues with water in their backyards. This master plan, the $180,000, we're not spending time in people's backyards with this, correct?
No, and we kind of clarified that at the last discussion we had, I believe, that yard flooding was not going to be part of this study.
Okay, I came away with a different impression, but I'm glad to hear that, so thank you.
Also, in the water distribution system, there's a pump and some associated piping that needs to be completed, and the lining point repairs in the water distribution system. Those are all programs and funding levels that are recommended by the village's consultant, Baxter and Woodman. The underground reservoirs need a little bit of maintenance, and so we're looking to clean and repair them at both locations. The water meter replacements, we are on a rolling plan as we continue to replace meters on a periodic basis. The good news is that as we replace water meters right now, they will be compatible with the AMI, automated metering infrastructure technology that we will be putting in place. And so we will not have to replace those meters twice. So this is a cost-effective solution for now. It sounds like I think there's some mute. Yeah, if everybody on the line could just try to mute themselves, looks like there's a little bit of background noise.
It was basically globalism and China's characteristics.
All right, well, we'll try to motor along here. There we go. All right. I hope it was something. So water main replacement. As we look at the water main program, we evaluate which section of water main needs to be replaced based on breakage history and the condition of that particular section. Going through the data that we have, we didn't identify any sections of water main that are in need of imminent replacement. So instead, we're proposing that we set aside $250,000 to assist property owners with the proactive replacement of lead service lines between the primary structure and the village's water main. And it would be a complete lead service line replacement. So when those private lines are replaced, we would also be replacing the public lines. And while there's no mandate that the lead service lines be replaced at this point, we do anticipate that it's going to come at some point in the future. And so I really applaud the Public Works Department for doing a good job of identifying this on a proactive basis and trying to accelerate not only that we're doing it, but how we're doing it. So what we are anticipating here is that we would offer some sort of reimbursement program to residents, pretty similar to what we do with the village's basement protection program, where residents can choose from an approved contractor and for their service replacement and then submit to the village for a portion of the cost. And then, as I said, the village would replace its section of the line. So I think this is a great program for the community.
Yeah, it's great. And the water, the lead in, I think it's gonna be more of a school issue.
Yeah, there's certainly, right, there's certainly concerns about that for all the obvious reasons, right. But right, and to the extent though that we can help the private property owners,
totally.
Yeah, absolutely, it's great, a great project. Mm-hmm. And then finally, we budget money every year for hydrant replacements that are just a little too low to the ground. All right, moving on to AMI, this is part of our continuing efforts to explore smart city technology. And one of the ways we're looking to do it is through the installation of an automated metering infrastructure. This is really a great improvement to customer service by allowing residents to see real-time activity on their accounts, which will reduce, help us reduce water usage, reduce water leakage, identify those leaks more quickly, and improve bill accuracy and the efficiency of reading those water reads, water meter reads, because we're not literally sending somebody out with, you know, some equipment to do it. We can do that all in real time. So as we have discussed at the board table, I won't spend any more time on it unless there's questions, but we are including that in the 2022 CIP.
Very good. Thank you.
On the stormwater front, the village proposes to reroute the catch basins at Division and Keystone into at that intersection into MWRD pipe to reduce the stormwater that flows into the village's sewer system on Keystone and to prevent on-street flooding. And I know that there have already been some robust discussions on that. And then finally, for stormwater, in order to further assist residents from the impact of flooding events, staff is proposing to extend the Lake Street berm to create a barrier between the Des Plaines River, the residences, and the village's sewer system. So just to bring this to a close here, just to kind of recap where we're at, this is the overall picture of the funding that we are proposing over the next 5 years. Obviously, these numbers change a little bit as projects shift, but we incorporate these into the budget, and we always bring you a balanced budget. Yep. Just to recap, where there are opportunities to defer replacements of projects or different equipment purchases, we certainly do so based on the operational needs of the village. We don't like to defer them too long because we don't want to spike funding, but where there are opportunities to make good fiscal decisions, we do that. And so just to kind of recap the projects that are recommended for deferral, either to next year or beyond, we've got the building improvement projects here that we mentioned earlier. We've got the vehicles that were noted earlier, and in some of these cases, you'll see that they're pushed out a little further in the CIP as you go through that document. There's a fair amount of equipment that we're looking to defer to the future, also noting, though, that SCBA air compressors in here, we may have to finally replace that thing. And then, as I mentioned, the IT budget, the laser fiche gap analysis. All right. So other considerations as we move through the CIP and our budget, we continue to try to maximize the value of green infrastructure, and we'll continue to emerge smart city technology and incorporate those projects into the CIP. We'll also implement recommendations from the comp plan, the bike plan, street camera optimization plan, and the upcoming not-to-be-missed stormwater master plan. We will continue to explore grant opportunities, new ideas, new partnerships with surrounding communities, including the Village of Maywood, pursuant to the Twin Villages Covenant. There is recent, as we wrap up, I just want to mention this in case you wondered why you didn't see it. As you know, the recent legislation that was passed includes a mandate that the police department implement the use of body cameras by 2025, and is if you ever get a chance to talk to Chief O'Shea, he will tell you about the myriad of pieces that are kind of moving behind the scenes with regard to the equipment and the storage and the retrieval of those records, because just the incredible amount of data that those cameras will produce. And so the landscape and kind of the behind the scenes world of how that's all going to be done is sort of shifting relatively quickly. And so bringing you a cost proposal on that at this point would be a little premature, but you can certainly look for that in future CIPs.
Yep.
And as always, we continue to monitor revenues and expenditures and bring you the most responsible decisions that we can recommend.
And legislation.
Yeah, we monitor legislation too. Absolutely. Good point.
Okay, very good.
All right, so there's our next step, same as the past. So if there's any questions that we have, thank you for letting me talk. The staff and I are happy to take any other questions or comments that you have.
I do have one more question. This is Patty. And first I want to say, this is great what you got. I mean, every year I'm impressed with all the work that goes into looking at all of this and evaluating things and trying to save where we can. So thank you for that. Quick question though. Traffic signals. There was a proposed change at Chicago Avenue and Thatcher initially for fiscal year 22. Now it's saying for fiscal year 2023. And I was just wondering the thought behind that, the reasoning for delaying that change.
Sure. John or Jeff, you want to jump in?
So that was just pushed to FY23 because traffic levels are currently down this year, obviously because of COVID and everything. So there wasn't an immediate need for it right away. So I just pushed it to FY23, and then we'll analyze it then to see if it is needed, those turn signals there at Chicago and Thatcher.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks. All right, very good. So hearing no further questions, then we'll adjourn our, so if I can get a motion to adjourn in a second.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, Trustee Bachner. Right?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner, yes. Trustee Carji.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay, meeting adjourned.